Hi, welcome to the Integrative Health Podcast with Dr. Jen Flegar. This podcast is meant to educate and empower about important health topics. Dr. Jen's passion is to get to the root cause of disease and prevent illness. She will also feature guests who are experts in their fields and experiences in all things related to integrative medicine.
Hello, this is Dr. Jen. Welcome back to the Integrative Health Podcast. If you enjoy this episode, please subscribe and give a 5-star review and share with your friends. Thank you so much for tuning in today.
Hi there, everyone. Welcome back to the Integrative Health Podcast with Dr. Jen. Today, we're talking to Dr. Nayan Patel. He's a sought-after pharmacist, wellness expert, and thought leader in his industry. He's been working with physicians since 1999 to custom develop medication for their clients and design a patient-specific drug and nutrition regimen. He's been the pharmacist of choice to celebrities, CEOs, and physicians himself. He recently published his first comprehensive book, The Glutathione Revolution: Fight Disease, Slow Aging, and Increase Energy. After 11 years of clinical research on the master antioxidant, glutathione, Dr. Patel finally shares how powerful and essential glutathione is to the body's detox system. Welcome. We're going to have such a good conversation. So excited.
I'm so happy to be here today. Thank you for inviting.
Yes, of course. So touch a little bit about how did you, as a pharmacist, right? Because I know a lot of pharmacists and they're not into things like glutathione, right? They're not into supplements and nutrients. So tell us a little bit about how you dove into that and what changed your mind.
So I was very fortunate early on that I had a very good team of pharmacists working with me where I was able to do pursue my passion is to find products and chemicals that actually does something good for us. So glutathione was by far the most intriguing, interesting molecule, but since it's the most abundant produced in our body. And for 120 plus years, it's been out that we have known about this thing. We have never actually figured out how to get it inside our body. So again, like everything else, when a physician calls me, hey, I want a solution. And if I don't have a solution in my bag, guess what I do? I got to figure out what solutions I have. So hence the research on glutathione.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really exciting. And you take care of celebrities too? That must be interesting.
It is interesting because initially the celebrities don't come by themselves, so they come through the physicians. So most of my clients are physicians themselves, and I help them in their patient needs. And once in a while, the celebrities will bypass the physician and try to get to the person directly who's making the medications to answer the questions. And it is not all glory because the demands are pretty high. But you know, at the end of the day, everybody's just a human being, and they're just trying to do the best for themselves.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't even know, right? They don't even know what they need to have their body function properly. And I think that's what our job is, you know, as physicians and pharmacists, we need to teach more. And that's kind of gone out of the way, right? I mean, there's not as much teaching going on, which is not good.
There is none. And one of my mission in life, personally, and all my staff knows this part, is to educate and be educated. And so I'm just thirst for knowledge. I just want to learn more. And as much as I learn, the only way I can retain my knowledge is if I share with the world. And so here we are today, sharing with the world.
Yes. Okay, let's go into the basics here. So a lot of my listeners have heard me talk about glutathione. And then, you know, we talk about NAC because N-acetylcysteine, it's the precursor to the master antioxidant glutathione. So talk a little bit about like how that happens. And you alluded to glutathione's like hard to give. So go a little bit into that for our audience.
Absolutely. So NAC or NAC in short form, N-acetylcysteine, is one of the components that used to produce glutathione. And NAC is the only actually approved as a medicine in the United States by FDA to use to improve glutathione levels. And the reason is because the body actually does not absorb any form of glutathione whatsoever, right? So for all these years when we've been injecting glutathione, we've been taking oral supplementations of glutathione, some newer technologies like liposome technologies that people tout about all the time that, hey, this is the best way to improve glutathione levels. None of them actually absorb inside your body. So NAC was great, and it's been approved by FDA. It's always been used. But now that the advent of this gene testings and people finding out from this sophisticated lab testing that, hey, some people have the mutation where they cannot take the cysteine molecule and put glutathione back together. And so that has been the issue for a lot of people we are finding out, because NAC did not work for everybody. And we could not figure out why was that working, right? As a physician, you understand. I said, hey, it works on this person, but it doesn't work on this person. What's the difference, right? Now that we have the testings, and the gene testing is so prevalent now, as people are finding out that if you have COMT, if you have MTHFR, if you have the CYP1B1 or GSTM1, GSTM2, all those gene mutations, your body cannot process or make glutathione. And so even though I did not know 15, 17 years ago when I first started the research that this was going to be the issue, I was in the right path trying to figure out how to get the glutathione in your body. So NAC is a good substrate, and it works on almost 60 to 70% of the people, no problem whatsoever. But the rest of the people, when they have the mutation, they are not going to be able to process the NAC and make glutathione out of it. Hence, right. They need a problem.
Yeah, and NAC on its own, NAC or NAC on its own, has its own good things it does, right? So for the lungs, it helps like decrease mucus, lots of studies with cystic fibrosis. It's helpful in different ways. You know, it's an antioxidant too. But what we're saying is if you're those people that can't convert it, it's not always going on to make glutathione. You know, it's interesting what you were saying makes me think about how we use NAC in the emergency room. We give it for a Tylenol overdose. So that's why it's FDA approved for that. And also with different lung diseases, but still, if you can't push it all the way to glutathione, then you might need some glutathione support, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. And then we have 8 essential amino acids that we need anyways. Cysteine is one of them. So by all means, I'm not saying not to take NAC at all, because we need those amino acids to do all kinds of peptides that we have to produce in our body. But if you have the enzyme or the gene mutation where you cannot use the cysteine to produce glutathione, that's just one component of it. So we may have to still have to take NAC for some other purposes, but to produce glutathione, now that we have a solution for you to take the glutathione and absorb it, by far, it's the best way we can improve glutathione levels.
Yeah. So you were saying IV glutathione is not absorbed and then oral isn't, because I know a lot of supplement companies will say that it's a different isomer of glutathione, or like you said, the liposomal, because I've tried liposomal glutathione before. It tastes disgusting. There's no way my kids would take it. So why don't those work?
So the we can go back to the research back in the early 90s when they were using the IV glutathione. There was a landmark study done in 1991 where they injected a 2 grams of IV push to these patients. There were only like 10 or 13 patients. It wasn't a big trial, but 100% of the patients, they found out that there was zero glutathione improvement in the blood levels. It was in the plasma, but nothing in the red blood cells. And so what we found out was that they said, okay, great, this is in the plasma. So what's the big deal? This is part of the circulatory system, so it's okay. But then the kidney filtered out in 14 minutes, it was out of the system. So we had almost like a 300-fold increase of glutathione in the urine. So you're just about to pee it out. But what they did see was there was a 10-fold increase of cysteine in the blood. And so even though we think that the IV glutathione did not work, clinically, we saw the results was there like a day later. The results came in because cysteine was getting reabsorbed and was used to produce glutathione. It's like the body takes a glutathione, it deconstructs it, and then remakes it again, right? And so if you have the gene mutation where you cannot reconstruct it again, those patients, you can push as much as you want, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
When it comes to liposome technology, same exact trial done in 2011, where they were given this autistic kids, because kids don't lie, of course, right? They're given these kids with this with the liposome technology of glutathione, and what they found was exactly same thing. Nothing was getting absorbed into the blood cells. The body was breaking out all this glutathione into the three amino acids. The three amino acids gets reabsorbed, and out of them, they're used to produce glutathione again. So the levels do rise, but they rise, but not because you're absorbing it. It's because the body's breaking down and reproducing it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I like how you explain that. So if you were one of the people that can't take that, the cysteine and the amino acids, and convert it to glutathione. So first of all, how do you know if you're one of those people? And then, like, what do you do? You know, how much glutathione are you actually making on your own?
That part is a very good question. I do not know the answer for that one completely, to the point where how are the body still able to produce a little bit of glutathione, if at all any, right? And we have measured people's glutathione level in my very small setting that I have. And people that have the gene mutations, their glutathione levels is minuscule, very, very small amount. And so it's hard to figure out how they're still functioning and how they're still surviving. Are there other parts of a body system that is compensating for a body not producing glutathione? I don't have the answer for that one yet. But what I do have an answer for is that you can test it today. You can test the mutation if you have that. You can test for glutathione levels if you really want to find out. And if you want to do the testings, please don't measure the whole blood. They do the whole blood, they spit it out, take the water part, the plasma out of them, red blood cells comes out, measure the glutathione levels in those red blood cells, because that's the accurate levels you want to know.
Got it. So what exactly does glutathione do? So we're talking about, it's important, and it's a master detoxifier, so an antioxidant. So how does exactly, like, what is it doing? What kind of things is it filtering out? Like estrogen is one of them.
So yeah, and you just nailed it, right? The hormones are one of the things that that's been metabolized by the liver. So any chemicals, any organic phosphates, any medications that you're taking that is going through the liver, the highest amount of glutathione in your body is in your liver, because it helps conjugate, or it helps bind with this all these chemicals and makes it water soluble. Because if it's fat soluble, it gets stuck in the fat cells and it just gets absorbed over there for long periods of time. But if it's water soluble, your body can pee it out every day. Right. So if you take a fat, it's like vitamins. If you take a fat soluble vitamin like A, D, E, and K, you take a very small amount because it stays in the body for a very long amount of time. Versus if you take like B complex, which is water soluble, your body just pees it out of all the excess. So our goal is to make everything water soluble, or somehow conjugate so the body can get rid of it. So glutathione helps in the process. So glutathione is one of the only molecules that does two things. One, it also neutralizes those ROS species, which is the reactive oxygen species, which is the charged molecule. It has an extra electron, which is supercharged, and it's okay to have that in your body. It's just that when it's supercharged all the time, you want to kind of neutralize that part. The neutralization process is done by glutathione, by giving up its electron to do that part. So that's why it's called antioxidant. It's the second part is it also binds or conjugates with all those known metabolites, so your body can get rid of it. So by far, it's the most powerful agent that body produces to keep a body clean electronically as well as chemically. I mean, nothing else can do that for us. Our body does not produce vitamin C. It only produces glutathione to do all this work for us.
Yeah, and that's at phase two detoxification in liver. So you have phase one, and then you have to have phase two. And what happens is if your phase one is revved up, but your phase two is slow, then you accumulate those toxic metabolites in the middle. And sometimes they're more toxic than what they started out with. So that's why both of these need to be running really well. It's like a machine. Our bodies are amazing, but we do get clogged up sometimes. And this is where I see people that are over toxic. They're just like toxic burden so high because they can't, they're stuck in one of those phases. And sometimes it is the glutathione phase. So when you get stuck, what do? Your body holds onto the fat, right? And, you know, you can see this a lot with people maybe that eat out all the time. And so they're exposed to even more chemicals and toxins, or they live in a city, which is right by like a refinery or something. And they're exposed to all these toxins and their liver and their body just is like, whew, I'm overworked. I need help, especially if you have those genetic mutations. So those genetic mutations are SNPs or single nucleotide changes in that DNA. Okay, so you get those little genetic traits from your parents, right? So some of us have a slower detoxification that we're born with from our genetics, and some people are more normal. So this is where we kind of see the difference in how people detoxify. And, you know, knowledge is power. Like you were saying, Dr. Patel, you can get tested for these things. So then you could be like, okay, my genetics are this way, but I can combat this with a healthier lifestyle and increasing my detoxification pathways with something like glutathione or other just, you know, magnesium, zinc, B vitamins. All of those are important also. So can we geek out a little bit about estrogen detoxification pathways? We were talking about this a little bit earlier. So can you explain, you know, the pathways that estrogen kind of has to go through? You mentioned, you know, some of the liver detoxifications and how glutathione plays a role.
Absolutely. And so when you look at the sex hormones, starts from the cholesterols to the pregnenolones, DHEA, testosterone to estrogens, and out it goes and out of your system. And depending if you're male or female, it doesn't really matter. The most abundant hormone that your body produces in the sex hormones is the testosterone, right? The only time the female have more estrogens and progesterone is if they're in the reproductive stage of the cycle. So anyways, the biggest culprit that we know of is the estrogens. Too much of estrogens is actually not good for you. And so the body cycles it during the pregnancy and not pregnancy, and then every month you get a period. Anyways, metabolism of estrogens is the basis of how we stay a body clean from all the hormones. Hormones are not bad for you if your body can get rid of them. If your body cannot get rid of them, then we have an issue. So even though we're dealing with bioidentical or natural to human hormones like estradiol, it has to be metabolized through the liver into different forms. And now there's a gene test, the CYP1B1. If you have a gene mutation that you cannot process the estrogens correctly, it will still metabolize it. It will metabolize towards more cancers metabolites, which is the two or the four of the hydroxyestrones, and it doesn't go towards the safer one. If it doesn't do the safer one, even though you're taking the bioidentical or so-called natural hormones, your body still have the tendency of accumulating more of the toxic metabolites. And those metabolites, that's a phase one detoxification, is to how do you break it down. The phase two comes in, those metabolites, even though they're toxic or non-toxic, have to be bound or conjugate or oxidize using a glutathione-like molecule in your liver to basically get rid of it. So regardless on which way you're going, if you're going more towards a toxic round or more towards a more safer one, either one of them, you still need glutathione to basically conjugate in your liver to get rid of it. So one good thing is you can test it and you'll know that, oh my God, I have an issue. But then if there's no solution, then nobody's going to test it, right? Or the second part is, regardless of what my body is doing, if it's going towards a toxic round or the non-toxic round, either way, having glutathione on board will eliminate all those metabolites from your liver anyways. So testing, no testing, which way you're going, it doesn't really matter a whole lot. As long as your body has enough glutathione to get rid of it.
Absolutely. I love how you said it's not the hormones, right? It's not estradiol that is the bad movie villain, right? It's the metabolites. And it's these three pathways. I call them the good, the bad, and the ugly. There's the 2-methoxy pathway, the 16-hydroxy, and the 4-hydroxy. And the 4 is the ugly. That is going down towards bad guys, bad metabolites that tend to produce like cancer-like basically cells, right? So that's what you want to stay away from that. And yeah, this is a testing that you can look at your urine metabolites. And this is something that I just got. I was talking to Dr. Patel about this and I'm like, I go hard down the 2-methoxy, but I also go hard down the 4. It's not really out of balance, but I do go down that 4 pretty hard, even with all the stuff I do, right? And this is why I really wanted to focus on glutathione and find a product that I can, that works. And I'm going to actually get it because I take NAC, I take NAC. I've been taking that pretty much daily since the pandemic for other purposes, because it does help, you know, with viral binding and all of that. We know that also. So, but specifically for me working on that 4-methoxy pathway, because I'm like, okay, I've been putting off getting these urinary metabolites, but I need to know, because, you know, when we think about cancers in women, it's breast cancer, right? But it's like Dr. Patel was saying, it's not estrogen, like estradiol is not bad. It's the metabolites. And then also you can talk about, you know, conjugated equine estrogens, which is, you know, derived from horse urine. And that's the pharmaceuticals estrogen. It's not real bioidentical. And those are even more toxic to the liver. You're taking them orally and those are harder to detoxify. Do you want anything to say about that?
So those equine estrogens are the synthetic form of estrogens. Doesn't have to be equine, could be birth control pills. There's so many other forms out there. Most of these hormones, as I said earlier, we produce a very, very small amount of estrogens. Only during the reproductive cycles, we produce a lot more. And so the needs are not very high. And the number one hormones we produce is testosterone, not estrogens, right? So when you take an estrogen or synthetic form of estrogens, your body needs to get rid of it as fast as possible. The synthetic form of estrogens takes anywhere from 45 to 50 days to get rid of it. And so the time it takes to get rid of it, in that time, 45 to 50 days, it is damaging your body every single time. So the issue is not about taking the right type of hormone. Well, the issue is there too, but issue is how fast can I get rid of it? And even with the help of glutathione, you cannot get rid of those equine estrogens out of your system for less than 45 days. And so even with the help, it takes this long. So as much as we can do to avoid the problem at the beginning is the best way to do it. Estradiol, again, is the by far the number one choice because our body naturally produces that. And that is not the issue. The issue is always coming down to how is your body metabolizing it? And can we have enough glutathione in our body to get rid of it?
Yeah, and this is not something that there's really good informed consent going around. When you sign up for birth control pills, it's not really explained, right? And that the synthetic estrogen, it binds so tightly to the estrogen receptors. And that's one of the reasons why it takes so long for it to get out. And it's interesting. So when I have patients coming off birth control and, you know, I'm like, well, we're not going to check your hormones I usually wait 3 cycles. So I really get a good rhythm, but the first 2 cycles, you still have that estrogen in your body. It's crazy.
That's 60 days. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the level doesn't taper off right away. It takes a long time. And, you know, I'm also a compounding pharmacist. So that's what I do full time. And we fill prescriptions for hormones all day long. And we see that people, when they get the right hormones, oh my God, they are on the regimen for the rest of their lives and they don't have to worry about it. And yes, I see the people on the flip side, when they go to the local physician's offices, they're getting the synthetic form of hormones, they're having all these issues, all the side effects, and then they're buying some other supplements over the counter to counteract what the issues they already have to begin with. So having the right treatment is so critical, and having the elimination pathways optimized. It's like I always say that if you know that if you eat a banana and you know if it's never going to come out of your body ever again, would you eat the banana?
Well, no. It's like microplastics, right?
Oh my God. There's so many things that we do. Right? We can go on this.
Glutathione's helping with microplastics, right?
I hope so, but I have no idea about that one.
Well, that's something new. You know, we eat so much plastic unintentionally. What have you found with your patients that are on bias, where they're getting that estrel? Have you looked at their estrogen pathways?
So the doctors that I work with, they will sometimes send me the results of the people because they have questions. And so I don't get to see average patients. I only get to see the trouble patients. Because they're the only one they have questions on and say, hey, what am I doing? And so that's what I normally gets it. And lately I'm getting a lot of patients that are taking those parent implants. The levels are getting so super physiologic high dosages in the urine, and we are finding those out. And so the activating this conjugation pathway has become so much critical. And so those are the results I see all the time. And we have so many different products in our arsenal, right? We have those indole-3-carbinols, the dinylmethanes, sulfurophanes, CDG, calcium glucurate, or TMG, trimethylglycine, or glutathione. And we're using all these different products, and we were getting some sporadic results. Since we started putting people on the glutathione, it has been a game changer for my patients and for my physicians, because now all of a sudden, as a practitioner, you can literally give hormones without having a fear of, is the body going to metabolize correctly? As long as they're taking glutathione on top of it and they're optimizing glutathione levels, you know the hormone therapy is going to be so much better, because now the therapy is going to work and the body is going to eliminate all the excess hormones out of your system. So it's the best of both worlds.
So you like using the glutathione with a little I3C DIM and with a little calcium D-glucurate, because the more the merrier, right? I mean, using all the resources, especially if someone's going harder down that bad pathway.
If you have the gene mutations, by all means, you got to throw the kitchen sink at them if possible, right? And so I also tell them eat lots of cruciferous vegetables. I tend to help people go on a more of a vegetable diet. They still keep the meats on if they want to, not a big deal, but to have more cruciferous vegetables to help the elimination pathways.
More veggies. I love that you brought up pellets, because it's like you're putting this pellet in and you're getting this very high surge. And it's kind of like a trend. A lot of people doing these pellets are just like med spas, and they've never taken a hormone course, and they're just like putting pellets in people. Because I've had people ask me, do you do them? And I'm like, I know, because I like my patients. What do you think?
Oh my goodness. So we used to make pellets a long time ago at the pharmacy. And then about 12 years ago, I stopped making pellets completely. And the reason is because we had few of my family members that were injecting pellets. They had growth on the breast tissue, growth on the uterine lining. And I'm studying more research. I said, you know what? There's no need for giving high doses of hormones, insert a pellet, and then you're okay for 3 to 6 months. Nothing is straight line. Everything is a bell-shaped curve. That means the levels have to go really high and has to come down slowly over time. And it's not the coming down part, it's the getting up to the peak. The peak, if it's too much of hormones, the body will convert those hormones into all these metabolites or active metabolites that are actually, you know, measuring them, but they're all over your body that is producing all these negative effects. So I don't think so. That's a good choice. I know the doctors swear by it all the time, and good for them. Then if they're getting the results, I was not getting the results myself for my patients. So we stopped making pellets altogether. And now I tell everybody that, hey, you only take enough hormones every day that your body can get rid of it. That's it. You cannot take the six months worth of dose in one day, and then hopefully the body will get rid of it every single day. It's like, oh, you know what? I need 12 glasses of water per day. That's what I drink every single day. So you know what? I'm just going to drink at least like 60 glasses for this week, and I don't have to drink for the rest of the week. You can't just do that, right? You got to drink a small amount every single day. right? And so that's the way I look at about medications and hormones and all those things. You only take what your body can process on a daily basis.
Yes, low and slow for hormones. I tell my patients, I'm like, I'm very conservative. I go low and slow. We can always adjust. But yeah, it's basically like with the pellets, it's like you're getting like a whole piece of cake or like a whole cake and eating the whole cake in one day instead of spacing that sugar out. You know, not that we should be eating a bunch of cakes, but anyway. It was just my birthday, so it's on my mind, I guess.
Well, that's why I give you water analogy, because people, everybody drinks water. No, not everybody eats cake, but everybody drinks water for sure.
Yeah, or eating a whole cow instead of one at a time.
Oh my gosh.
But I'm glad you brought that up as a pharmacist. So that, and that says a lot that you don't make them anymore, because I'm sure people ask for them. And yeah, it's interesting. Let's go back to the glutathione, and we've talked about what ways don't work, what ways actually work. And this is how I found you, because I found your booth at A4M and I was like, what is the, I need this, especially with looking at my estrogen metabolism.
So I always follow my heart and follow my signs. And so we were the largest producer of intravenous glutathione for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so even though my research started like 15 years ago, I was still making the intravenous form of glutathione. Mm-hmm. When my research got completed in 2019, my book got published in 2020. When everything was ready to go in 2019, I shut down my intravenous form of glutathione production. Mm-hmm. Because I truly believe that there's no purpose left for us to inject anybody with glutathione, because I can get everything that I want to get with the topical form that we created. Again, I didn't go out there to look for topical form of glutathione. I just follow the science. And the science led me to the discovery of stabilizing glutathione in this complex. And then once we stabilized it, we even tried to work on it to how we can reduce the particle size, because glutathione is a large molecule. It's really getting absorption issue was a big deal, because it was not even getting to the blood cells. So I said, how am I going to get it inside the cells? So then what we found out was there's a way to bind to the ACE2 receptors on your cells. And so we use the molecule to bind to the receptors, so that now your body can absorb the glutathione readily. Anyways, when we did that part, of course, my first thing is taking my mouth, right? The mouth, the enzyme in the mouth was breaking this complex apart. I said, nope, they did not work. So eventually what we figured out is, you know what, let's just use topically through the skin. And when we did that part, boom, the results just came in right away. This was 2011, right? It was a long time ago. Wow, and so then I started doing all my trials. I said, hey, let's see. I called my doctors. I said, hey, we had this normal glutathione molecule. I said, what's the big deal? Just send me your IV stuff. I said, okay, I'll sell the IV stuff, but I want you to try this product out. And sure enough, we started doing those parts. So it took me good 11 to 12 years to do the research, finish writing the book, publish my data, and then we launched the product to the open public 3 years ago for the first time. Mm-hmm. So here we are. The form is a topical form, and it was not something that I was looking for, a topical form. It just happened to be a topical form.
Right. And there's topical medications, you know, like compounding medication we spoke about, like certain peptides can be topical, hormones can be topical. So explain though, how, because I use the product, it's like a liquid and you can smell it. It smells like sulfur. Mm-hmm. How does it actually like go through the dermis, like, and get into the cells? Like what's the, because I'm familiar with compounding creams, you know, the different that, you know, because if you look at hormones, they're fat. So you need a certain cream, like Lipoderm's used a lot to go through the cell. So if you can explain that a little bit so people can comprehend how it works.
Absolutely. So it's a very common thing, right? Every topical solution that's out there, they have to somehow get dissolved or absorbed into your fat layer. Is the lipids, right? It's the cholesterol under your skin. That layer, so every single thing that you do is a serum, or if it's creams, whatever, it's an oil and water emulsions. Because if it's just water straight up, guess what? It doesn't do much for you. It doesn't get through the system at all because the layers of your skin will just stop the absorption of anything that is water-based. So this is a water-based product. The glutathione is a water-based product. How did that happen, right? We explained to you about the small particle size that we did. So we use a bunch of sugar molecules, saccharides, that will bind to the water channels of your skin, and it is actually straight through, bypassing all your lipid layer, all your epidermis lipid layers is all bypassed and goes straight to the water channel, straight inside your body on the bottom of your skin. So all of a sudden now, the layer that was protecting you is actually, there is a channel every so often for the sweat to come out. We're using the same channel to put the medication back in.
Mm.
So I think this is the first technology in the world because we have not seen this technology anywhere else in the market. We have been issued 7 patents right now for this molecule and the absorption through your skin and all those things. So, and we have more patents that are pending because the more we are finding out, we are just letting the PTO office know. And they say, oh, yeah, this is another novel thing. So they're issuing more patents to us at this point. The whole idea is not about the patent process, but the learning, the whole thing that we can use this technology now to deliver a lot of different things. I mean, yeah. We have the same technology. Now we can deliver vitamin C now.
Mm.
And we already have a vitamin C product on my skincare side, you know, nothing for the pharmacy side. But I have a skincare line that delivers a vitamin C on your face using the same exact technology under your skin right away. It's just absolutely amazing. It's a little sticky. You use the product. It's a little sticky, right?
It goes away. It's not bad. Hey, it's worth it if you could get my, you know, my estrogen. That shook me getting those results. So I'm like, I'm all in. I have one at my office because twice a day is what's recommended, right?
Yes. It's a very short life. It only stays in the body for 6 hours, 8 hours at the most. So if you use it twice a day, then you have a good chance of staying up to 16, 20 hours in a day. So you just mentioned the estrogen metabolites, but a lot of people have, when they have this gene mutation, they have massive brain fog.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know where this brain fog is coming from, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of the holistic doctors, the reason they turn holistic because they themselves were the patient to be beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They themselves had the issue. I said, oh my God, nobody can help me. So they turn functional themselves first to find the problems for themselves. And so a lot of the doctors I work with, they themselves are my patients because they have this brain fog, they have this gene mutations that they can clear that part. They apply the glutathione and literally in 5 minutes, like a snap, he says, oh my God, the fog just cleared up. I had one guy, I was at a conference recently, he applied it on. He goes, oh my God, I had no idea that I had a brain fog. I can just feel clear head right now. Mm-hmm. And so not everybody has this issue, but of course, if you had this issue, the results are literally instantaneous. And so that's, to me, tells me that there's a lot more issue at this stage than just delivering hormone metabolites. I mean, you're exposed to 70 different chemicals before you leave your house in the morning within the first hour. Mm-hmm. You are exposed to all this wavelengths that are producing all this reactive species in our body, all this Wi-Fi systems or all these networks we are a sea of magnetic field that is actually emulating all your signals inside your body. We have no idea what's going to happen the next 20 years from now, but what we do know is oxidative stress is higher, right? The oxidative stress diseases is the highest we have ever seen in the history of mankind. Could be because of your testing more, but maybe the exposure to all those chemicals and toxins that we have in the environment, which we cannot get rid of it, right?
Right. Now, have you had a lot of experience with Sears patients with mold? And has this been a game changer for those patients?
So that was my first physician I worked with.
Mm.
He himself is a mold patient, and he talks at A4M conferences. I think he's a director at A4M at this point, Dr. Andrew Heyman.
Oh, yeah.
So he's been using this he was my number one doctor to adopt to say, you know what? I believe in you, so I'm going to use this product for in my patients, and so he started using this product in his patients, and he's big on SIRS and biotoxins and molds and Lyme's disease and all this conditions that you have because your body cannot get rid of the toxins that is inside your body, right?
Right, absolutely.
So the glutathione, it's a great way to reduce the inflammation down so they can breathe better. They can think better. They don't like blow up like a balloon. They have the weight is under control, all those things. And so that's a game changer for them. They still take other medications to help get rid of it, in the sense the causing agent, but the ill effects of those agents have been neutralized. So it's like a robber in your house, robbing your whole house. And it's, as long as it's, you can still have the robber in your house, but if it's bound in a handcuffs and stuck in a basement, then it doesn't do any bad things in your house, then it's okay to have the robber in your house, right?
Right. Yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, I love that analogy. What about kiddos? Can kids use this? Do they just use half the dosing or quarter dosing based on their weight?
Exactly. And so we have used in a lot of spectrum disorder kids, autism, Asperger's, and people with acute viral infections like influenzas or shingles and chickenpox. We had a village in South America with chickenpox, and where we did the first trial on this product in South America. And we found out that 14 out of 14 kids had resolved the symptoms in less than 2 to 3 days. Normally it's a 14 days incubation period, right? They were healthy in 2 days. So it really helped the village because all the kids, otherwise if one kid gets it, the whole village gets kids will get it, right? The conditions are not so good. So we are using kids all the time, and the dose is much different. So anything under the age of 14, we ask them to use 3/4 of a dose twice a day. Under the age of 6, we're asking them to use half the dose twice a day. Anybody under the age of 1 or 2, maybe, we're asking them to use only 1/4 dose twice a day. And so, and again, this is all arbitrary because nowadays depends on everybody else. If your body cannot produce any glutathione at all, then you may have to do dose a little bit higher. And so this is a good starting off point. And of course, you can always go high or low based on the responses you're getting with your patients.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, can you overdo it? Can you have too much glutathione in your body? And is this something that you need to do forever? Or if someone doesn't have that genetic mutation, they just maybe use it when they get sick or they're exposed to toxins. And then people that maybe have that mutation or know they do, then they should use it every day.
All right, so that's a four-part question. I'll go one by one. One is that if you have a gene mutation and your body cannot produce glutathione, you are stuck for the rest of your life. There's no way around it because your body's not going to all of a sudden change just because you want it to be changed. So that's not going to happen. Second part is that does everybody need glutathione? Yes and no. If you have a very healthy lifestyle, if you're not exposed to environmental toxins, if you live in one of the remote islands of the world where they have no exposure to whatsoever, then you may be okay because your needs of glutathione are very, very little and the body is able to produce it. If you're living like me in California or in the United States, for that matter, your needs are going to be high regardless. And the needs does not change as you age. In fact, the needs are the same or even higher as you age. But your body's ability to produce glutathione reduces starting the age of 30. At the age of 30 is the first time we see an imbalance of what your body can produce and what your actual needs are. Your needs are much more than your body can produce. And then the gap from production to needs starts getting wider and wider as we age. So yes, those people are going to need for the rest of their lives as well. The question is, can I overdo it? So if you look at the FDA and how they've approved glutathione in the past, FDA has issued a GRAS status to FDA, to glutathione. GRAS is generally regarded as safe. And that means you can give a lot of dose orally, of course. This is all oral stuff. You can give a lot of stuff orally, and there's no side effects or no issues whatsoever. But keep in mind, the first few minutes we discussed, none of the glutathione is actually absorbed in your body straight up. Mm-hmm. Everything's getting broken down. So you can take as much as you want. The body will break it down anyways. So who cares, right? This topic of form that we have doesn't get broken down. So yes, there's a potential that you can overdose on this product. And so that was my first study I did in 2010. Before I even launched the product to the open, to the physicians community, I figured out what dose to give you. And of course, my pharmacist mind, look at the literature, the books tells me, hey, I have to use this much glutathione on a daily basis. I used the same amount of the topical form, and it was too toxic. I think it was too much because people were just reacting very differently. And so I said, stop it. I called my doctor of friends. I said, hey, doctor, we have this glutathione. If you want to use a patient, first we identify what dose to give you. That's when we found out that four sprays, which is about roughly about 100 to 115 milligrams, is all you need to improve your glutathione levels to high normal. So if you're otherwise healthy, that's all you need. 100 to 150 milligrams twice a day will get you a complete replacement of all glutathione. Now, of course, you as a physician, what if I have a patient with this diseases, right? That's when the Glutal Plus was introduced about 2 years ago, because a lot of my physicians wanted a higher dose of glutathione to use on their patients. And so we started having those, and those are good for as an onset of therapy. Like when you first start taking the medication, you use that. And then once your glutathione levels are saturated or high enough, you can switch over to the regular glutathione, and that becomes a maintenance dose. So that's so this is how my doctors are using it right now. But again, if you do overdo on the glutathione, you will get a rash and itching all over your body. When that happens, you just have to come back. It happens in once in a while. If that happens, you're just going too much. And most of the doctors that I work with, they already know this thing, so they're already telling the patient, if you get a rash, let me know right away. Reduce the dose down. And so if you're using 4 or 5 sprays twice a day, you use 3 sprays twice a day and see if the symptoms gets better. And usually they always do. So
yeah.
The answer is yes, you can overdose it. So please follow the instructions and don't take too much if you don't have to.
Yeah. And you'll have that little rash, like you said, if you probably overdo it, you'll notice.
Yeah. And the rash doesn't happen right away. If it happens right away, the rash, we know where the rash is coming from. Your liver is trying to detoxify so fast. I said, oh my God, I got a Roto-Rooter coming to work at my house. I want to clean up every clogged things I have. And all of a sudden, the body cannot handle that much toxic overload in the bladder or in the intestines. So it develops this rash out. So all you do is slow it down. You just slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, so maybe those patients that are more sensitive and you're worried about them having like a Herx reaction, just start them off slower and ease them up. So sometimes that does happen because your body's like, woo, let's go. Or I'll put even patients on just like a mild liver detox, you know, just giving them the nutrients that they need for phase 1 and phase 2 detoxification. And yeah, they'll get a little bit of a rash, you know, that our body's like, okay, here we go.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's really cool. I just love that. I think this is great for kids. I'm excited to have another tool in my toolbox to help me detoxify and be healthier. Now, what about like, this is off topic from glutathione, but have you ever seen those like vitamins, those patch vitamins with the water soluble? I mean, is that technology save your money on those kind of things and go for the real good stuff?
Well, which one are you talking about? I'm sorry.
It's like those, you know, they try to sell those patch, those vitamins, like B vitamin patches.
Ah.
Those. I just had a patient ask me, I'm like, what do you think about those? And I'm like, I don't know the research on them, honestly. So I'm like, oh, why not ask you?
Yeah. So topical stuff most of the time is not necessary at all. You only use topical products that are easily degraded by the human body. Bees are water soluble. again, he can put a patch on, and yes, he can get into the occlusion system and driving the medication through that part. But what's the purpose of it? I mean, you can just swallow the pill and you'll absorb very, very easily. So we do things for the right reason, right? If there's a benefit of using a patch to enhance absorption or to delay the absorption and to have a more sustainable effect of this particular vitamin, that's a different story. But you can achieve the same thing by putting sublingual drops under your tongue, and it tastes good. It doesn't taste bad at all. So there's no need for that.
Yeah.
The only reason that we did the glutathione was because, and if you use a glutathione, you'll know. I mean, by all means, this is not a topical product. We're selling it as a topical product, but it smells, it has an odor of a sulfur. It is sticky like a glue, but yet it works. So the people that do it, is the sole purpose of them doing this way, even though it smells, doesn't smell good, or doesn't feel good, is because, you know, it's the right way to get inside your body. That's the only reason we do this part. So I am all about science. And I will always tell everybody that let the science lead you what you want to do instead of just shooting in the dark. And so if somebody tells you that, hey, this is the best way, I said, tell me how this is different than every other form that is more convenient for me to use and put a patch on. With the patch on, the biggest issue is the rash, because the glue that you put the patch on, there's not a single glue in the market today that does not give you rash.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you want the rash?
Do you want to be exposed to that extra stuff? Yeah.
It's a chemical.
Follow the science. I like that.
Yeah.
So, I love the product. I will link everything for everyone out there to the science, to the website. Dr. Patel, tell us, what are you working on, anything else right now? Where can people find you?
Absolutely. So yes, I'm nearly completed my research on vitamin C, as I said earlier. We have a vitamin C product ready on the market as a skincare supplement, but we are also ready to launch a very high concentration of vitamin C as well, topical. And so we will have that one ready. In my lab, I do have a couple more molecules I'm working on right now. One of them is my ever passion about, when I started doing glutathione, the glutathione is an ATP sparing and an NAD sparing molecule, right? So it enhances your body's own production, not enhances, but it spares ATP and NAD both. So now we have abundance of ATP and NAD.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not everybody can produce NAD correctly.
Right, right.
So there's my next research I'm working on.
Yes, I was hoping.
That's already, it's ready right now, but okay. It is not going to hit the patients for at least 2 to 3 more years, because like I do everything slowly. Once I get the product ready, I will contact the physicians that I work with. They're the industry leaders in this area. And so we collaborate with them to do some patient trials and make sure that it's they're getting the results they're looking for. I'll learn everything as much as possible. It won't be 12 years this time, because now my science is much, much faster than I can get things done. I have a lot more context than I had been before. And so let's hope I have an NAD molecule ready for us. And I have a couple more on the skincare side, because as you said earlier about peptides, topical peptides, peptides cannot go through your skin at all. This is the first peptide, tripeptide, which is glutathione, is the first peptide that's actually going through your skin. So now my goal is anything less than 15 peptides. I'm working on those molecules to get it into your skin. What if we have joint issues, and if I can repair the cartilage over there or help with the pain and inflammation over there? What if I can get all your collagen back under your skin, and there's all of a sudden there'll be zero wrinkles, everybody else? Anyway, so I have 3 things that I'm working on right now.
Oh, that's exciting. I love it. And you're just so passionate about this, and it's helping so many people. So thank you so much for being here and just doing all the hard work.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for, right? Share the knowledge. And I wish everybody has the same notion, because if everybody's willing to share the knowledge, we can progress as a human being species so much faster. Because the wealth of the knowledge is in the grave is what we say. I wish everything is out of the grave so we all can cherish it. So my thing is all open. And I share my knowledge with everybody else, and hopefully people can use this information and go further. They can follow me, they can check my website, auravellness.com. And if you buy the products, please mention doctor's name that you might refer to so that we can give credit where it's deserved. So please do so.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Patel.
Thank you.
This podcast is created and hosted by Jen Flegar and is for informational purposes only. It is not medical advice. This podcast disclaims responsibility for adverse effects from use of information contained in this podcast. This podcast does not promote opinions of their guests of their own and does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests of the show or endorse any qualifications for the guests of this podcast. Guests may have financial disclosures. If you think you have a medical problem, consult your personal physician or team. Thank you for joining.